morning, church. It's a little soft music this morning to get us focused and centered in, amen? Now it's time to shake things up a little, amen? Let's get her done. Now, let's listen to what the scripture has to say to us this morning in the book of Luke, chapter 10, 33 through 37. But a Samaritan was traveling when he came near him, and when he saw him, he was moved with pity. He went to him and bandaged his wounds, having poured oil and wine on them. Then he put him on his own animal, brought him to an inn, and took care of him. The next day he took out 2 denarii, gave it to the innkeeper, and said, "Take care of him, and when I come back, I will repay you whatever more you spend." Which of the 3 do you think was a neighbor to the man who fell into the hands of the robbers? Jesus said. The one showed him mercy. Jesus said to him, "Yes, go and do likewise." That was capturing right in the middle of Luke, and that scenario of when we have, you know, the man who ran into the Samaritan, and he was telling the parable to his disciples to try to teach them about love and mercy. We hear what Paul has to say to the Philippians in Philippians chapter 2, verses 1 through 2. "If then there is any encouragement in Christ, any consolation from love, any sharing in the Spirit, any compassion and sympathy, make my joy complete. Be of the same mind, having the same love, being in full accord and one mind." This is the word of God for the people, God. Thanks be to God. All right, so what is all of this saying? Your guess is as good as mine. But I tell you, I think we captured it in the theme today and in the title of this message, Down to Earth Love. What does it mean to have a down to earth love? Right now, our world is looking for love. It's almost like that old song, "Looking for Love in All the Wrong Places." Yeah, I hear you singing it. Yep, I'm not going to because it's not about me. But we are looking for love in the wrong places. There are so many issues that are drawing lines between us and separating us. In the church, we argue about simplest things, how to worship, how to run a particular ministry, what to do with a building. We argue with those about politics, ethics. We argue over racial indifferences. We argue about justice and social injustices being done. We argue about gender equality issues and those of the sick and the poor. We get in heated debates about these things, right? I mean, I don't know if you're on Facebook, but every time I scroll on Facebook, I'm just like, man, what is wrong with people? Well, I use that opportunity to pray about those heated debates. I use that opportunity to ask, where is the love? We cannot deny that we live in a world that is full of division and hate. I think we can agree with that. But why do we allow these issues to separate us? And to separate us and build walls among us? When someone does not agree with you, sometimes, perhaps, you may be quick to respond. Some of us respond critically and want to prove why someone is wrong. We may think that other person on the other side of the argument as an enemy. No way they can be right. I'm never wrong, right? I'm glad my husband isn't here for me to hear this one. We become defensive whenever we get in arguments. And when that happens, that's when evil wins, friends. When we allow both our practical and theological differences to divide us, we become distracted and take our eyes off of God's love. Friends, the world is not looking for more arguments and more ways to hate each other. We find ourselves in need of something more. Amen? We're looking for something more, someone to trust. We are looking for opportunities to love and, more importantly, to be loved. Not this flowery, you know, Hallmark kind of love that you can get in a greeting card. No, but a real love, a down-to-earth love, something like the salt of the earth. We have a friend that we call Salt because he's a very simple guy. It's very clear where you stand with him. He's a good guy, too. And that's why we call him Salt, because he's the salt of the earth. And he's able to show a down-to-earth love in simplest ways. Man, I wish I could do that sometimes. But this down-to-earth love is something that we are going to look and celebrate this Advent season. You know, we have different reasons that bring us here to church this morning. Whether you were forced to go by somebody, maybe you are feeling that is a part of your routine that you're trying to go. I saw some looks going back and forth. Maybe you're just here to hear a word from God, or maybe you've been swimming around in some destitute and just need a word of hope. Whatever your reason for coming, the fact is the matter that we are brought here together. Together as a community. We are gathered together as a church. And when we gather as a church across the country and across the world, we learn that we are in certain searches. And we all are searching for this type of love that we can find through Jesus. Jesus' ministry had a love when he came down to earth. It wasn't a clean and easy ministry. It wasn't tidy. He didn't live inside of a box. It was messy. He came and shook things up. I love Jesus. Man, he could really shake things up. He ministered to the religious and the non-religious people. He spent time with those who were inside of the church, those who were outside of the church, saints and sinners alike. And he also spent time with those who needed love the most, those who were looked down upon. He loved people who were hard to love. And sacrificed his life for those people and us. Could we do the same thing? Chew on that. In Advent, we are called to anticipate and participate in the birth and coming of Christ our King. We are called to wait. And yet, it's not just waiting for an event to occur. It's also about the realization that something is actually happening. Something is happening in our lives, and we have a chance to put our faith in action and to live it out so that others may see Jesus. Today, I want to ask you, what would it be like, and what would it look like if we lived the kind of life that Jesus taught us to live? Sure, we asked that question several times, but seriously, let's think about it. What would that down-to-earth kind of love look like? How would Jesus love his disciples? How would Jesus talk to the Samaritan woman at the well? How would he have talked to the man on the road? What would that look like? What kind of impact would that have with our interactions with each other? How would it change how we greet each other in the lobby? How would it change how we talk to each other at the dinner table or in our home or even talk to the stranger on the street or at the gas station? What does this type of love look like? That shows others we are truly trying to live like Jesus. When we look to the stories of the New Testament, we find that many people within those stories argue as much as we do. Have you ever read the Old Testament? It's filled with all kinds of arguments. Have you read the New Testament? Oh my goodness, the book of Acts, back and forth, back and forth. Even the stories in the Gospels, lots of arguments. There's divisions among them, just like we have today. Heck, there was even divisions during the early church. You know, in the early church, I've been learning about it, and it's amazing. These people had no clue to put their acts together. They wanted to do so much for the Lord, but it was like a messy, chaotic love that was going on. They were arguing over things like how to order the church, how to order the liturgical year. Do you know how long it took to put the liturgical year back together? When are we going to celebrate Advent? When are we going to celebrate, you know, the rising of the Christ? All of these things. Heck, there was even arguments how to clean the communion cup, who should wash their hands, and who was welcomed at the table. My favorite one is when they argued about the Sabbath. They argued whether people were made for the Sabbath or if the Sabbath was made for people. I mean, who does that? Well, they did. This was a whole new thing they were learning about. This whole new ministry. What did that look like? So it was going to be uncomfortable. These were growing pains that they were going through. But in the scripture, we see a model of how to move past from our divisions, how to approach these arguments and see a glimpse of Jesus' down-to-earth love. In the book of Philippians, Paul is painting a picture of love for the community. Now, hear these words again from Philippians chapter 2, okay? Therefore, Paul says, if you have any encouragement from being united with Christ, if any comfort from his love, if any common sharing in the Spirit, if any tenderness and compassion, then make my joy complete by being like-minded, having the same love, being one in spirit and one in mind. Now, Paul brought up this group of believers into being. He had been the first one to tell them about the love of Jesus and what it was like to live as part of God's kingdom. These verses in Philippians, he was asking a very hard question. And it's asking us the same question. How has following Jesus made a difference in your life? When we look at the original language, we find that the you Paul is using is not the personal you. It's not very directive. You, Larry, how are you living like Jesus? It's not that. It's, sorry to point you out, brother, but I knew you could take it. It's talking about the whole you. Paul is saying, you all, or where I come from, y'all. All y'all. If you're from Pennsylvania, yuns. He's writing to the entire church, saying, hey, y'all, have you found Jesus? Then act like it. I see a couple t-shirts coming up with that one. But seriously, he's talking to the whole community. So I ask, has following Jesus made a difference for y'all, Trinity United Methodist Church? This season, we have a chance to make that love and that following real, to continue to make it real. You know, it's difficult at times to imagine that our lives have to do with other people. And it's not just about me and Jesus. You know, we think it's about just me and Jesus, no one else. But that's not the point. You know, sure, there's that vertical connection. It's me and Jesus, absolutely. But it's nothing if we don't have the horizontal connection. Amen? I mean, just imagine the cross, and I'm sure you may have seen this illustration before. The vertical line is the line between you and Jesus, but it's nothing and means nothing. That faith means nothing unless we have also the outstretched hands of Jesus Christ. Amen? Amen. You can go to Grow Time and talk about that. But we need to make sure that we are connecting in love. And faith is about what we do with that and how we treat one another. We are created to love. Richard Rohr said, love is the reason you were made, and love is who you are. The good news for us today is that very same love, that down-to-earth love that Paul was writing about to the church of Philippi, is available for us today. And it's so cool. I get so excited about it because I get to share it with others. Jesus loves you no matter what. No matter where you've been, no matter what you've done in your past, what you look like, you are loved. Jesus' love is an active love. It doesn't get bottled up, put away, and kept away on a Sunday morning. It flows from heart into the hands and to the feet and impacts how we live our life every day. The answer can actually be also heard on the radio. I hear it in one of these songs that I just love. It is by an artist named Jason Gray. And the song is called With Every Act of Love. Now, I'm going to sing it for you, but the bridge goes like this. And I think this is brilliant. God put a million doors in the world for his love to walk through. One of those doors is you. We are a door for love to walk on through. Hot dog. I love it. We are a door, and you are a door. You can give that love of Jesus. It can walk right through you to reach out to your neighbor. Wow. When I understood that concept, I got so excited. I don't know if you could tell. I got so excited about it. But that's what it should do. To be able to love others is a blessing. And to share that love with others, my gosh, it's so great. So this Advent, I want to offer a challenge. I ask that you do something simple and beautiful for someone every day during this Advent season. Think of it sort of like what we do at Lent. Sometimes people give up or they take on something. Dude, let's do that at Advent. Let's take on something and show love to people for this 24-hour period. Okay? Can we do that? I'm seeing some nods. Now, if you find it uncomfortable, good, because it's going to be. I mean, these simple things. You don't have to go all out with it. If it can be as simple as holding a door for somebody, saying hello, greeting a neighbor, if you're brave enough, wave and smile to a person next to you in traffic. That's always fun to do that one, especially when it's a backup. Bring a casserole or bake cookies to someone who is grieving. Babysit a child for a busy mother. Maybe take 10 minutes from your day and pray for the refugees and the migrants all over the world that we learned about this morning. Maybe buy some items at the grocery store for the local food bank and just drop them off. Simple things, you know? Simple actions to help us show God's love. And to show that it's just not an idea that we capture inside of the Bible. That it's actually physical and it's out there and it's moving amongst us. It's flowing. The truth is we can share God's love to others because God loved us first. Amen. John 3:16. God's love is for each of us. And this Advent, we are asked to open our hearts to God, to allow God to move us and move our hands and feet to make a difference in the world. Now, we don't have to agree with everything. We can agree to disagree, though. We don't have to win an argument. We don't always have to have it all figured out. We must simply just let God use us. Use our lives as the simple tool to be loved and to love someone. God loved us so much that he brought his only son. Don't just let those words sit in the Bible. Put it to use. He wants you to spread that love. And he did so, and he provided an act for us to remind us of that love. And every first of the month, it seems like for us, we come and celebrate and remember that love. Remember the love that Jesus came when he took the bread and he broke it. And he said, friends, this is my body, which I break for you. It's given for you. Do this every time you gather in remembrance of me, because I love you. This is a love token from God. He also gave us another token, that token of the cup. When he took the cup and he blessed it, he thanked God for it, and he said, drink this, all of you. The cup of salvation. The cup of love. Every time you gather, remember, this is for you. Do this in remembrance of me. And together, we come together every time to remember that love that was brought down. Simple elements, simple acts. Extraordinary results. Amen? Amen. Would you pray? Father God, we ask you just to bless this holy meal that you have provided for us this morning. May it nourish us, Lord, and remind us of the love that you have brought down. Pour your Holy Spirit over the bread and cup. And Lord, remind us. Remind us of whose we are and of your true and loving arms. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.